to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. And today we continue what we began last time, which is a look at some of the stories found in the Bible. And I don't know how long I will do this or how many there will be, but for today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 19. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Genesis chapter 19, and we're going to look at the story of Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God destroyed them. Sodom and Gomorrah, and the sin of homosexuality. Very relevant for today, because this is one sin that has become very acceptable in our society, flaunted and praised. So let's begin with prayer and see what God has to say. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Then he said, "Hear, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will stay in the open square all night." You know, these two angels who were sent from God to Sodom didn't come to town in order to pay a visit to Lot. They came on a mission. They came to Sodom to verify that it was as sinful as reported. And of course, God already knew that Sodom and Gomorrah were as bad as reported, but the process is important to God. He does things in the right way. He is a God of justice. And so if he's going to punish, he is first going to gather the evidence to prove his case. And that's what these angels were doing in Sodom. Verse 3, "But he that is Lot strongly insisted. So they turned aside with him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate." Lot knew that it was dangerous for anyone to spend the night on the streets of Sodom, especially if they were men. Consequently, he insists that these two angels who had appeared in the form of men stay with him. And they, out of deference to Lot, out of regard for his feelings, accepted his gracious invitation. 4. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And so the homosexuals in the city of Sodom learned that there is fresh meat, I guess you would say, for their perverted lust, fresh meat, in Lot's house. So they surround the place like a pack of wolves, drooling wolves. And notice in verse 5, "They then called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, so that we may have relations with them.'" And will you notice how these homosexuals did not make a request? They didn't say, "Could you bring them out? Ask them if they want to come out," which would not have made their sin any less sinful. But they didn't even make a request. They don't ask, they don't suggest, they demand the right to commit their sin with the two visitors. And you know, it just illustrates how far gone these people were. when sinners don't even attempt to hide their sin, but rather flaunt it, but rather demand the right to do it, but rather demand that others say it's okay, then those sinners are close enough to hell to smell like brimstone. And so is the society that condones their actions and gives them what they want. And by the way, their sin wasn't just that they wanted to force their will on these two men. That was part of it, but that wasn't the issue, not really. And I say that because there are some who say, well, there's nothing wrong with the sin of homosexuality. It's just that they tried to force their sin on these men. No, their sin was the homosexual behavior which they engaged in all the time. Forcing it upon these two men simply added sin to sin. But the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah came up to God before these two angelic men appeared on the scene. This was not the issue. They were in trouble with God before these two men showed up. Why were they in trouble with God? Well, it's obvious, because of their sin of homosexual behavior. Verse 6. So Lot went out through the door to them and shut the door behind him. Then he said, "Please, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Do not act so wickedly," said Lot. Notice that homosexual acts are wicked behavior in the sight of God. And this isn't the only place that teaches that. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, "Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. It is detestable." Elsewhere, God calls it an abomination. Elsewhere, God calls it perverted, unnatural. What more do you need? What more evidence do you need in Scripture to prove that God despises this sin as much as he despises any other sin? But this is what God says. This is what our Creator says. Our Creator says it's wicked. Our Creator says it is detestable elsewhere. Our Judge says it is wicked, detestable, perverted, unnatural, an abomination, he calls it. And yet you have people who say, there's nothing wrong with it. The only way you would say that is if, number one, you are completely given over to it and therefore you don't want to quit. Or if you're trying to become popular in this ungodly society by saying ridiculous things like that, unbiblical things like that. But one thing is for sure, you don't care about God, and you don't care about the Word of God, and you don't care about truth. You love your sin more than you love God. You love your sin more than you love truth. And if you can say these things with a straight face, there's nothing wrong with it, then it just goes to show that you have turned your back on the truth time after time after time out of love for your sin, and you've gotten to the point where you believe a lie and you are now calling bad good, because there's no question about it. And I don't care if our president trots around the globe as he has, talking to other nations in public speeches, talking to Putin in Russia, and he was in Africa last year talking about this same thing, trying to get these nations to legalize homosexual behavior, to give homosexuals freedom to commit their sin, to condone it, to say it's okay, threatening not to go to the Olympics. If Putin didn't change his opinion on this, and Putin was right, and he is right on this, never thought I'd hear myself say that a Russian president was more correct on an issue than an American president, but sure enough, it's the case. I don't care that his vice president, in a foreign policy speech a couple months ago, suggested that they were going to withhold aid to other nations if they didn't legalize and accept homosexual behavior. I can't believe my ears. I can't believe that I am seeing a president of the United States and a vice president of the United States promoting this, that which God calls detestable, an abomination. I don't care that many states have legalized homosexual behavior, homosexual marriage. I don't care that the NFL commissioner strong-armed the state of Arizona by saying, you pass a law condoning homosexual marriage, or we're taking the Super Bowl away from you. I would have said, commissioner, take the Super Bowl. Take it. And it would have cost me my job as governor. I understand that, because of the economic hit. But that's what I would have said. Because number one, I would have ran on the platform of Scripture. This is right and this is wrong. And then I would have stood for what I believed in, no matter what. And I would not care if 99.999% of the people in the world say it's normal. And it's and they don't. But there certainly is a vocal percentage out there. But I wouldn't care if 99.99% of the people in the world say it's normal, say it's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. It is an abomination to God. It is wicked behavior to God. And if people don't like it, well, I guess that's their choice, because they have a free will. And we do have freedom of choice in this country. But I'll tell you this, as a preacher of God's word, as one who proclaims the holy word of God, you, if you are one of them, will pay for your sinful choice. And if you're one who condones it and promotes it, you will pay for your sinful choice. And people are evil for promoting it. And the networks are evil for promoting it. And the politicians are evil for promoting it. And God help us, the so-called preachers out there who promote it and say it's okay are evil for promoting it and condoning it. There is no other way of saying it. But go ahead. Promote, condone that which God calls wicked. Go ahead if you want to. But hear this. You're going to lose that battle. God is going to defeat you. He's not going to let you get away with it. You're not sure you're going to lose that battle? Go ask the people in Sodom and Gomorrah who's going to win that battle. But oh yes, I keep forgetting. You can't, can you? Because God turned them into a pile of ashes, because they committed this sin, condoned this sin, promoted this sin. God wiped them out. 6 and 7. So Lot went out through the door to them and shut the door behind him. Then he said, please, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. You know, actually, Lot had more guts than many preachers do today, because he had the guts to call it what it is, which is wickedness. Don't feel too good about Lot. Not quite yet, because notice verse 8. Look, Lot says, I have two daughters who have not been with a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. Is he out of his mind? Has he gone completely insane? I'll tell you this, living in Sodom has dulled Lot's conscience. He lived so long in Sodom that he started to think like Sodom, at least in some areas, like right here. Lot had spent way too much time in Sodom, and now there's way too much Sodom inside of Lot. Which just goes to show that those who expose themselves to much evil and not enough God will become desensitized to sin. If Lot ever had a decent bone in his body, it seems as if he's lost most of it. 9. But they replied, "Stand back." Also they said, "This man came here as an alien, and he keeps acting like a judge. We will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came close to breaking down the door. Lot dared to say that their desires, that their behavior was evil, that they were wicked in the sight of God. So what is their comeback? They accused him of being judgmental. I got news for you. When a preacher, when Lot says that the sin of homosexuality, homosexual behavior, that is wicked, that is evil, that is perverted, that's not my opinion. That's not Lot's opinion. And it's not being judgmental. The judge has spoken. God has spoken multiple times, crystal clear in his holy word. I'm not judging anyone. I'm telling you what the judge says. You may not like the verdict. You may not like me for delivering that verdict. You may not like Lot for delivering that verdict. You may not like any other preacher for delivering that verdict, but it's not our verdict. It's God's, and he's the one you're going to have to deal with. Because he's not changing. I am the Lord, I change not. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And of course, today Lot would be called homophobic. He would be called intolerant and a bigot. Well, praise God. Praise God for intolerance when it's based on wrong behavior. And let me tell you something about bigotry. It is sinful when it's prejudice against someone's race. That is a sin. But you better be discriminate when it comes to behavior, because God is. And he will hold people accountable for those who do not discern between right and wrong, for those who do not call evil what he calls evil, and do not call good what he calls good, and he calls the sin of homosexual behavior evil. And if you as a preacher don't have the guts to stand up and say that, and you're so worried about your popularity or about being seen as cool in the eyes of the world, you ought to get out of the business, because you're a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a disgrace to God, and you will pay for your apostate attitude toward this sin. Boy, you're popular today. You're looked upon as modern and relevant, and people, no doubt, applaud you. The ungodly do. The ignorant do. But you're not popular with God. You're a false prophet, a false teacher, doing what you do for the sake of filthy lucre, dishonest gain, in one form or another. If not money, then popularity, and you know it. Verse 10. But the men reached out their hands, talking about the angels, and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Lot was not getting anywhere with these hardened sinners. So the angel stepped in and rescued him. You know, trying to convince sinners who are convinced that bad is good and good is bad, you trying to convince them that the Word of God is true is like talking to a wall. I may be talking to some walls today, and that's unfortunate. But I'm doing what God tells me to do, because he says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Teach. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, whether anyone listens or not. because God deserves to be heard in this world that is so full of sin and ignorance. Verse 11. Then they struck the men that were at the door of the house, both small and great, with blindness, so that they wore themselves out, groping for the door. You know, I'm not amazed that these homosexuals called Lot judgmental for pointing out their sin. I'm not amazed that these homosexuals hated Lot for calling their sin wickedness. I'm not amazed that they tried to kill him, evidently. I'm not surprised that God was angry and struck them blind either. When you read the Word of God, that's not surprising. Should expect it. Expect it. Or worse. Because it's coming our way. If there isn't repentance. I'll tell you what surprises me though. What surprises me is that being struck blind by God in an instant didn't cause them to repent. Didn't even deter them. God struck them blind because they were attempting to force their sin upon these two visitors, but rather than repenting and walking away, they continued to search for the door. It says they wearied themselves to find the door. It should say they gave up. They came to their senses. They fell on their faces before God and asked for forgiveness. And God would have forgiven them. God will forgive you if you're guilty of that sin or of condoning that sin. God will forgive you. But you can't act like they did. Persevere in it. After hearing the Word of God, you have to repent. You have to fall on your knees. You have to confess it as sin and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He'll forgive you. But I'll tell you something. Those who tolerate sin too long will one day reach the point of no return. That's where they were. They'll get to the point where even the wrath of God won't shake them out of their spiritual lethargy and their sinful rebellion. And then you're in big trouble. 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Take them out of this place." God has all the evidence that he needs. Sodom is guilty. Repentance doesn't even enter into the minds of the men of Sodom. They don't even think in those terms. And I suppose that's not surprising, since they refuse to even admit that their wicked behavior is wrong. Why would they even consider repentance? Repent of what? Just because God's word calls it an abomination, perverted, unnatural, wicked? Repent of what? Man, how anybody can in essence, look God in the eye and say, repent of what, after he has said what he said about this sin, is just mind-boggling to me. The only answer is that your heart is so hard because you have condoned this sin so long that the truth can no longer get through to you. But there's only one thing left to do before God strikes. Let's get all the righteous people out of that city, which won't take long because there aren't many. Verse 13. "For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has grown great before the presence of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And I don't know who was praying against the sin in Sodom. I don't know who was praying, "God, stop this perverted madness. Don't let it go on anymore. Put an end to this horrible sin." I don't know who was doing the praying, but their prayers were heard, and their prayers are about to be answered. Verse 14. "So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, 'Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.' But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking." Just remember that Lot was willing to give his daughters to these terrible sinners. No wonder no one took him seriously when he tried to warn of God's judgment. No Christian can instruct others concerning the dangers of sin. No Christian can successfully warn others about their need to surrender to Christ if those Christians are not surrendered to Christ themselves. You have no moral authority. No one will listen to you. They will laugh at you. Many a soul is burning in hell today, in part because the ones who tried to tell them that they needed to repent and they needed to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life were not living holy lives themselves. 14. So Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. He was telling them the truth, and hell was knocking at the door, and Lot's sons-in-law didn't know it, and furthermore, what's even worse is that they didn't care. To them, the word of God was a joke. The wrath of God was something to laugh about. Talk of God's wrath seemed to be old-fashioned in that day. I suppose the people thought, well, it's true. We've heard that God punished Adam and Eve for their sin. We've heard that God punished Cain for his sin. And it's true he punished the people at the Tower of Babel because of their sin. And it's true that he sent the worldwide flood and wiped out the entire population of the world, except for Noah and his family, because of their sin. But this is the year 2067 B.C. Man, this is 2067 B.C., so things have changed, you know. They probably thought, you know, we're a modern society. We have a thriving economy. And they did. So don't talk to us about something as archaic as God's wrath. This is 2067 B.C. I've heard people say that stuff today. I heard a couple of radio announcers doing a sports show in Milwaukee. When there was a rumor that a player was a homosexual, they were going to take phone calls. They invited listeners to call. But then they added this, "But don't call up and tell us that it's wrong. Because we're not going to take any of those calls. We're not going to tolerate any of those. Because this is the year 2014. And I didn't have a cell phone. And if I would have had a cell phone, they would have got a phone call from me whether they wanted it or not. And I would have said, what in the world does 2014 have to do with anything?" But those are the kind of lies that Satan wants modern societies to believe. Thing is, Sodom's about to find out that no one is too sophisticated for God to punish, and that the statute of limitations never expire when it comes to the law of God. This is the year 2014. Yeah, it was the year 20,000 or 2067 BC too. What difference does it make? 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Otherwise, you will be consumed in the punishment of the city." Now, God did all he could do. He was as patient as his holy justice would allow. Now it's up to Lot and family to get out of there, because if they don't, then they will have no one to blame for their own destruction. That's the way it always says, you know, God is not... He is not responsible for the pain and suffering of those who reject his word, like maybe some of you are doing today. Your blood will be upon your own hands. Don't blame God. He is not responsible for your destruction, for the destruction of anyone, regardless of what their sin is. If they don't repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is not responsible for the destruction of those who don't obey his commandments, don't heed his warnings, don't repent of their sins, and do not receive his mercy through Jesus Christ. They are responsible. 16. And while he lingered, stop there for a second. This, I can't believe this is in the Bible. This is like a bad dream. You know, where you're being chased and you're moving in slow motion. Did you ever have one of those? I'm telling you, the city is about to go up in smoke, and Lot and his family are lingering. They're taking their sweet time. What in the world does it matter with them? And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, of his and his wife's hand, it says, along with the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and brought him out and set him outside the city. And I don't know if Lot and family were trying to decide what to pack or even whether to go at all. And I say that because nothing about this family would surprise me. Believe me, it's a good thing that salvation isn't by works, because if it was, Lot and family would be in hell. Salvation is by the grace of God because they had faith. The Bible says that Lot was a man of faith. In spite of his sin, he was a man of faith. And you're saved by faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. So God took him out of there. And if God doesn't grab him and move him, he's dead. God took away his options in order to save him. God took away his options so that he would do what was right. Sometimes that's what God has to do with Christians. Sometimes God has to force us to do certain things, and sometimes he does it by eliminating all other options. Did you ever pray for something and it doesn't come to pass? And you pray for another thing and it doesn't come to pass? And you pray for another thing and it doesn't come to pass? And so you're stuck where you are? What do you think that is? Or there's only one open door? What do you think that is? That's God. That's God shutting all doors except for the one that he wants you to go through so that you will do his will, because sometimes we just don't want to do it. Sometimes we don't volunteer to do it as we should. 17. When they had brought them out, one of them said to them, "Escape for your lives. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Notice that the command here in verse 17. He said to them, "Escape for your lives, do not look behind you, don't look back." Don't look back. You say, why? Why didn't God allow them to look back? God doesn't say why. He didn't tell them why. And he doesn't tell us why in his word. He doesn't have to. It's enough that he said it. It's enough that it is his word. We don't have to know the why. Why doesn't God condone homosexuality? God doesn't tell us. There's some common sense reasons. There are some medical reasons. But God doesn't tell us why. We don't have to know the why. It's enough that it's clear in his word that he doesn't, that he hates it. That's an abomination to him, like any other sin. And the reason I keep saying like any other sin is because people want to eliminate the sin of homosexual behavior from the category of sin. Lying is still a sin, killing is still a sin, stealing is still a sin, but that's not. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? It's like any other sin. 17 and 18. When they had brought them out, one of them said to them, "Escape for your lives. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords." Now what? Lot, now what? That's what I'd ask him. What? What in the world is this man doing? First he lingers. Now he debates with the angel. Lot's life is hanging by a thread, so he better start obeying and quit talking. He better start doing what the Word of God says. And he better start doing it in a hurry. Do more obeying and less thinking. You know, when God says something in his Word, there's nothing to think about. Whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. That's not the issue. There's nothing to consider. There's nothing to think about. Just believe it and do it, or find yourself in a lot of trouble. That's where Lot and his family are heading if they don't learn their lesson quickly. Verse 19. "Your servant has found grace in your eyes, and you have shown your mercy, which you have shown to me by saving my life. However, I cannot escape to the mountain, otherwise some evil will overtake me and I will die." I guess Lot was thinking, that God saved him from Sodom so that he could kill him in the mountains, which is where he told Lot to go. And it doesn't make any sense at all. Why would God save him from Sodom in order to take him up to a mountain and kill him? He's afraid to obey the word of God. Never be afraid to obey the word of God. And I know that sometimes it's difficult to obey the word of God. I know sometimes it's not what we want to do, at least our flesh. I know that. But God never commands us to do something that will harm us. And all of his commands, including the command to repent of this sin of homosexual behavior, is given to us by God because he loves us. Those who tell you that it's okay, that it's normal, go ahead and do it. They don't care about you. They may think they do, but they don't. Love does not exist outside the boundaries of truth, and the truth is it's a terrible sin. Lot was afraid to obey the word of God. Never be afraid to obey the word of God. Never commands us to do something that'll harm us. 20. Look, this city is close enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. He said to him, I have granted your request in this matter also. I will not overthrow this city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. And then notice carefully. Verse 25 or 23, the sun had risen over the land when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the valley, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. And these verses are God's commentary on the sin of homosexual behavior. And all sins, for that matter. But the sin of homosexual behavior is the sin in view here. Why do you think God dedicated an entire chapter to this particular sin and to his judgment upon it and punishment upon those who committed it and flaunted it and said that it was okay and condoned it and tried to force their opinions, their perverted opinions, upon others? Why do you think God dedicated an entire chapter to this? He didn't destroy any other city for any other sin. The Bible never teaches that he destroyed a city because they were full of liars. He never destroyed a city because they were full of thieves. He never destroyed a city because it was full of people who coveted or who took his name in vain. But he destroyed this city because they condoned and committed and promoted the sin of homosexual behavior. Now don't tell me that there's nothing wrong with it. It's ridiculous. You can say there's nothing wrong with it, but don't say that God's word teaches that, because it's not true. It is wrong. It is always wrong. And when one commits it and one flaunts it and one's proud of it, they're playing with fire, as we see. You know, the Bible says that hell is fire and brimstone. That's what God poured out on Sodom. Fire and brimstone. God dropped a little bit of hell on these impenitent sinners as a warning to all including us in America. Repent before it is too late, because God's law hasn't changed. And if you think it's all right to do it in the name of freedom, you are wrong. It was condoned in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was considered acceptable behavior in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was tolerated by the government in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did that stop God from destroying those cities? No. Because the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't belong to the government of Sodom and Gomorrah or to the people of those cities. The United States of America doesn't belong to the federal government or to the individual states. It belongs to God. We're living on God's property. We're living on God's land. We're drinking God's water. We're eating God's food. We're breathing His air. And we better obey His law, or He'll get rid of us, as He got rid of them. The doomsday clock is ticking for those who refuse to repent. Sodom and Gomorrah stand as an example of what happens when that clock hits zero. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can write me, you can email me. And I would appreciate you standing with this ministry. We have no large church. We have no large denomination supporting this ministry. But if you believe the Word of God, then you know that everything I said today is absolutely true. And I need you to stand with me. I really do. My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Again, one more time. Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, WAUSAU, Wisconsin, 54402. Our email address, if you have any questions or comments for me, is the, versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. And don't forget to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website, because everything you need to study the entire Bible is online at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, and it's there for free. You can study any book of the Bible, any chapter, any section within that chapter. You can study any of it using my audio Bible commentaries. Just click on the section that you want to listen to. Follow along in your Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. That web address is thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. And again, the address here, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you for spending this time with me. Please pray for this ministry, would you? Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.